on the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use. Today is Sunday, April 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Sumanji, and thank you for joining me for another episode of The Hangar Bay. I hope each and every one of you have had a wonderful week in the virtual skies. If you're new to the show or a regular listener, just a reminder before we get started that you can always follow along with this week's show notes on thehangarbaypod.com or watch me scroll through them in the video version of this show, which is hosted on YouTube or on Spotify. With that out of the way, let's get things started like we do every week with the flyby. The flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. Starting things off this week, we have an update 5.203 for IL-2 Great Battles, which has just gone live with two new community campaigns and a new resource allocation system that surprised us all. The hook is here. Eagle Dynamics surprised us by opening pre-orders for the CH-47 on Friday, with an early access release date of June 26, 2024, and a 30% off pre-order discount. On the DCS front, Baltic Dragon submitted his DCS F-16C The Gambler's campaign to Eagle Dynamics this week, and it should be available on the store, quote-unquote, soon. And then finally, on the hardware front, Verpal said that not all April Fool's Day news releases have to be jokes. When they released their new throttle this week, the small form Cadet V-Max, which is going to retail for $250 USD or 230 euros. So that's a few of the bigger stories for this week. Stick around for the full show where we'll cover these stories in more detail as well as the rest of this week's news. On that note, let's dig in and get things started with the developers.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
So starting things off like we do generally each week, we'll go in chronological order, starting things off on the World War II side of the house with IL-2 Great Battles. As I mentioned in the flyby update, 5.203 is now live. It just went live on Tuesday, and we covered this in more detail 2 weeks ago on episode 10, or maybe it's 3 weeks ago now. It's been a while, but if you didn't catch that show, this update is going to include expansion of the mission types available in the scenario generator and career mode for IL-2. So if you're a big fan of those, you'll get a couple new things to play with. As I mentioned in the flyby, there will also be two new community campaigns available now in-game. The first is flies the BF-109G6 in late 1943, and the other takes advantage of the P-47D and has you flying in late 1944. There's also several other bug fixes of that nature, but one thing we didn't discuss previously because they hadn't talked about it, and which was a surprise this week, was the new dynamic battlefield system. So they said this is going to be something that's in a pilot's career mode, quote, to create the most interesting and varied scenarios and to optimize the CPU load on the system. Unquote. So what exactly are we talking about here? Well, IL-2 devs have implemented something they're calling the Dynamic Resource Allocation System, or Dynamic Battlefield. If you're familiar with Falcon BMS, the immediate thing I equated this to was a way of culling the battlefield, right? So if you have units that are outside of your area of operations or they're really far away from you, essentially the game's going to remove those from the system to decrease workload on your CPU. But to provide a little bit more context for that in the IL-2 setting, let's go through a little bit more of what they've had in this week's developer diary. Specifically, they call out that this implementation is going to be exclusively for World War II career mode escort scenarios. So where the players are fighter escorts of AI-controlled attack, bomber, or transport planes. So in other words, this is a debut of the system. They have a design around one specific mission set, and they say if it receives positive feedback, it's going to be expanded to other career mission types in the future. So how this dynamic resource allocation system is actually going to work is essentially assigns performance costs to things that are in-game. So if it's a single truck, you know, driving down the road, maybe that has a very small cost. But then if it's a whole group of bombers flying around, that costs quite a bit in terms of resources. Essentially, each of these units is going to request permission to enter the game world. And the allocation controller is going to check the amount of resources required. So if it's just one truck, maybe it's easy to fit in. But if it's multiple bombers, Maybe the CPU's working too hard. I can't fit that in. Either way, it's going to do this check, calculate if it should add the units or not. As units are destroyed or removed from the game, like an AI flight lands, they don't need to be in game anymore, it will release them, freeing up resources to add new units. And why this is really interesting is how it's going to evolve around dynamic events. So they talk about two specific methods in which these dynamic events will work. So the first one relates directly to what we just talked about, which is bomber escort of AI-controlled aircraft. So they are implementing a system called early warning posts. So these are essentially like observation posts that'll be out near the front lines. So when you and your AI compadres are flying across the front there, these observation posts will now be able to summon enemy interceptors. So these interceptors are going to be organized into zones. So think of these circles across the battlefield along the front lines where there's going to be an AI observation post. Essentially, they can call in enemy attackers or interceptors. So when it detects you, it'll make a call to the resource allocation system and it will request enemy aircraft to appear near you and then direct them to intercept you. So it's almost kind of like a dynamic GCI or ground controller and resource allocation system all in one. And these enemy interceptors might appear in the air, like maybe 30 miles away from you, for example, close your position. Or if you happen to be flying near an enemy airfield, maybe the resource allocation system will generate them on the ground and they'll take off and intercept you from there. So the current implementation, though, they do note, does not initiate intercepts of against single aircraft or against fighters that are not escorting strike aircraft. So this all ties into what we were talking about earlier. This is designed for you are escorting a large group of friendly aircraft. You're not off on your own doing your own thing. That's where this system's going to come into play. But the other thing that was interesting is they talked about route-based activity. So imagine you are doing the next day in a pilot career mode. It says the resource allocation system is going to actually try to populate the world around you to make it a little bit more alive. So you go press the next day in your career mode, see what your mission is. It's going to generate some events behind the scene that may occur on your route that day. So for example, your flight may generate enemy AI who are on a free hunt mission near your route of flight, or it could be an enemy recon plane that's dynamically generated at a high altitude, or friendly aircraft or transport might be just assigned a random transport mission behind the front just to give it more like I said, liveliness behind the scenario. So just a really cool system. Also goes on to say that these aircraft, once they're spawned in, won't just disappear. So if you see these aircraft on your mission, you can actually go follow them and they'll fly their full dynamically tasked mission that day and then land at their own field. So really having a true mission, they're not just there to add a visual nature. They'll actually do something in game. But that said, and this ties into my Falcon BMS a relationship I mentioned at the beginning and why it reminds me of that, there is like a dynamic culling system though. Say you go do your flight and it takes you 100 miles behind the enemy line, you know, that friendly transport that was flying near your home field to save resources, if they're far enough away, the game's going to make an in-game calculation. Okay, all right, the player's not going to see these, or these aircraft are so far away that it doesn't make sense to continue rendering them and spending CPU cycles. So they'll be taken out of the game to free up resources for your computer. It says, and the last note on this system is that this system will come with three options that are tweakable by the player. So you can actually have control over how much of the allocation system you'd like to spend on certain areas of the game. So maybe you're more invested in airborne forces or AAA. You can go from like low to high, if you will, on how many you'd like to support. If you have a better setup or a stronger computer at home, maybe you could take that all the way to high, whereas someone who's playing on a laptop or a lower end system can reduce those things to make the game experience a little bit better. You can also tweak the ground forces setting. And then finally, an interesting one is the power balance setting. This essentially is how much do we want to weight the mission in favor of the human or the enemy AI. So kind of an interesting system. But all told, I really like this. This is a great introduction of our improvement, I should say, to IL-2. I wonder if this is something they've been working on for the title that's in development and they're kind of testing it out here. Either way, I think this is a very interesting system. It sounds like you should leave feedback depending on what you think of it in the coming weeks, as the developers will be very keen to see how we react as a community and whether or not they want to continue adding more functionality to this going forward for the existing IL-2 property. So very, very cool. Sticking around on the World War II front, let's shift things over to Scramble, Battle of Britain. So I mentioned that a few weeks ago. This is a merge, or I should say coming together, if you will, of a flight simulator and a real-time strategy game, and a turn-based strategy in that sense as well. So Slytherin Games announced that if you are interested in Scramble Battle of Britain, when I talked about it a few weeks ago, you can sign up for a beta test right now. That window is open. You can go over there, put your name in the hat, tell them why you'd like to beta test it, and hopefully you'll get picked, and you can help that game continue to develop in the weeks and months ahead and turn into a great product. So just wanted to share that with all of you in case you're interested in participating. All right, shifting things forward to the modern day, let's talk about DCS. Eagle Dynamics surprised us this week with the announcement on Friday that the pre-order window for the CH-47 is here. So I guess that's not a surprise in lieu of Afghanistan also releasing this June, but I just didn't expect it so quick. As a Hilo Bubba, of course I'm excited about this. Anytime we get a helicopter to the game, I'm always going to be happy. And then this one looks like a really intriguing aircraft to fly. I must say, though, the trailers for any release in DCS are always just top-notch, and the addition of Bittersweet Symphony with rotor blades in this trailer is pretty much the pre-order video of my dreams. So anyway, back to the aircraft itself. The release date for this is going to be the 26th of June, or at least that's what they're aiming for. If you do want to pre-order right now, it's offering a 30% discount, you know, in keeping with what we see for most pre-orders available from Eagle Dynamics. That puts the price tag at $49 US, a retail price of $70 for this aircraft. I thought they might actually aim a little lower, given that, you know, the previous pricing history of like the K-50 and the Mi-24, that's about, although I guess that's, I should say that's about the same price as the K-50 and Mi-24. What I meant to say is it's about $20 more than the Mi-8 and UH-1, the Huey. I guess those are older aircraft, though, with the K-50 and Mi-24 releasing recently. So I guess it's consistent in terms of that. So $70, you know, if this is something you're interested in, obviously, pre-order probably makes sense financially. That said, I was a little surprised that they didn't actually release a full set of features. Others have pointed out in the community that's consistent with what they've done with the F-16 and F-18. You know, and in terms of this particular aircraft, I mean, I don't know if there's a ton of features that they're really going to take me by surprise in terms of I'm going to be shocked about what's implemented or what is not implemented. That said, the video itself looks great. The cockpit, internal, external modeling look fantastic. I do wonder if possibly they're waiting on releasing the feature set to potentially talk about some of the AI ground features they're hoping to implement before Afghanistan goes live. There's been a lot of comments by developers in the YouTube page comments. Big Nui is over there replying to a lot of things, and they've been active on their Discord as well. So perhaps we'll see some comment. I should say that I know they've been spending a lot of emphasis on talking about they want to make some changes to that ground element of the game. And I think a lot of users realize that the current state of helicopters needs a lot of AI assistance on that front. So you don't have these AI units with the perfect aiming to shoot you down the minute you get in weapons range. I don't know. Either way, this is still an aircraft I'd like to fly. I like logistics. So even a non-combat aircraft like this, I mean, I know it has door guns and things of that nature, I think it still could be a fun addition to the game. Be curious if you're planning to pre-order. I will. Haven't yet. I do plan to before it goes live, and I do look forward to flying it on the Afghanistan map. So I have the link to the pre-order in the show notes. If you're interested, you can also find it on the DCS website at digitalcombatsimulator.com on their news page, or just go directly to the shop and you'll find it there. On a final note, though, I did mention I was perusing the comments on the YouTube pre-order video. One did stand out for me, though, and you eagle-eyed viewers might have noticed something similar. Someone asked the question, why does the German border appear during the Cold War? So about the 55 seconds into this pre-purchase video, it looks like there is something very similar or very reminiscent, I should say, of the border between East and West Germany in the video. And some eagle-eyed viewer pointed that out. And then Nine Lines said, quote, why indeed? Why indeed? So, you know, if you cast your mind back to the interview with Wags last week, when he was talking with Casmo, he mentioned there are several maps in development right now, one of which would be of great interest to a lot of fans of the community. And I wonder if that could be what they're hinting at here. Could we be talking about a Fold-a-Gap map, a Cold War map? I mean, Kola is the biggest map on my priority list, but if we could get something between East and West Germany, Cold War setting, that would easily vault to the top of my list. So something to keep an eye on. I got a screenshot of that comment on the show notes if you're interested in seeing exactly what I'm talking about, but a nice little tease from the Eagle Dynamics community team there. All right, staying in the DCS world, I mentioned in the upfront there that the Gambler's F-16C campaign by Baltic Dragon should be coming our way soon. Baltic Dragon announced that the Gambler's campaign, which he's developing for the F-16C on the Syria map, which was a joint project with John Waters, who's the host of the Afterburn podcast and a former Viper demo pilot who flew with the 77th Fighter Squadron. They're going to be putting together a 13-mission campaign, which is going to cover air-to-ground, close air support, escort, and air-to-air missions. In typical Baltic Dragon fashion, there's going to be custom briefings, kneeboard pages, thousands of lines of voiceovers and triggers. All of this will put you in the seat of an F-16C pilot flying over Syria in roughly the 2014 to 2015 timeframe. I'm a big fan of Baltic Dragon's campaigns. He always makes great stuff. So if this is interest of you, keep an eye out. It should be another great addition to the game and specifically for the Viper pilots out there. All right, sticking with DCS, we had a two-minute video from the Polytrop crew who brought us an intriguing and beautiful footage of the in-development OH-58D Kiowa. So, or is it Kiowa? I never remember, so apologies for you Polytrop and OH-58 fans out there if I keep butchering that. That said, you can find this video on their YouTube page, which is at Polytrop Official, but I got it linked in the show notes. It's just... The again, reminiscent of the CH-47, the level of detail on some of these aircraft we're getting looks fantastic. This is another one, though, where I'm wondering, okay, we're getting a little hype video coming up. Are we potentially going to see this released with the Afghanistan map as well? I mean, we're talking some serious releases coming up here in the next few months if this is looking like it might go live. So also want to note, I found this on the Polychop Discord this week. They're planning to host an Ask the Dev stream on their own Discord, which will be on the 27th of April at 1900 Zulu. So UTC, for those of you like UTC zero, I guess, for those of you over in the UK, you'll get this at 7 o'clock at night. And then for those of us on the East Coast here in the US, I think that put us around 2 p.m. So a little bit in the afternoon. Either way, I'll recap anything that gets discussed next weekend's show most likely. So if you can't make it live, I'll be sure to have you covered here on the show. And then finally, since it just seems to be a week of teasing new content for DCS, Orbix was not to be outdone with the tease of my much anticipated Kola map. That's right. They put a video up on their YouTube page, which is at Orbix Official, and Orbix is spelled O-R-B-X. They said in the comments for this video, get ready because the long-awaited DCS Kola map is on the brink of release, promising a heart-pounding experience covering northern Norway, Sweden, Finland, Murmansk, and parts of the Barents Sea and Norwegian Sea. The countdown is on, and we're inching closer to the big reveal. Also, interestingly enough, in this video, they had Morse code playing in the background, and some quick listeners were able to translate that, and it spelled out coming soon. So if you're, for those of you who haven't been following this map and don't understand why I'd be so hyped about a map in Scandinavia, besides the fact that we could get trees, oh, yes, lots of trees and green. Yes, no more desert. The Kola map's going to cover about 550,000 square kilometers of the northern Scandinavian area. For context, Syria is about 450,000 square kilometers right now, and the detailed portion of the Sinai map is about 490,000 square kilometers. So this is going to be on par with those two maps, a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger as well than the southwest part of Afghanistan. So we're looking at a pretty reasonably large map. The screenshot here, you can kind of make out where some of the air bases are in the local area, but obviously I expect some new information on that front if this indeed is going to go live soon. I don't know, so I'd be curious to see what you think, though. Do you think we're going to get Kola before Afghanistan? I can't see them releasing the two maps simultaneously in June, but maybe, I don't know, weirder things have happened, I suppose, but man, two new helicopters, two new maps, F4s coming out too. Goodness, I forgot about that. So three new modules, two new aircraft, and hopefully some additions to the underlying game mechanics as well. So lots of interesting developer news this week, but that wraps things up on that front. So let's go ahead and shift things over to the hardware side of the house next.
Flight controls.
So if you can move it, toggle it, push it, or rotate it, hardware news is what we're going to talk about it. And the biggest news this week on the hardware front is from our friends over at Verpal. So Verpal announced that April Fool's is no more. So a little over a year ago, if you hadn't followed, they published an April Fool's joke, which was essentially a very small version of their throttle. And what I mean by small is it was essentially just the grip itself. So they had the flap lever and then the throttle grip with the detent system and the buttons, or if you will, the hat switches and the buttons and the axes on the throttle grip, but none of the surrounding buttons or switches on the base plate itself. So a condensed version, if you will. Well, a lot of people, including myself, were like, wow, you know, if you actually release that Verpal, I'd be interested in that. You know, if you're a VR user, maybe you don't want all the extra switches and toggles on it. Or if you are a SimPip builder, maybe you just want the throttle itself, a smaller form factor thing to drop in your setup. Well, Verpal heard the response. A year later, here we have the product release. So as I mentioned, and you can see in the pictures here in the show notes, it's very compact in nature. So you've just got the main flap lever, which is the same flap level you're likely you're looking at these on the CM3 throttle. So that's coming with you. And then it's the throttle grip. And it is a little slimmed down in terms of how many hats you have on it, which some people I've heard feel that there's way too much going on the Verpal CM3 and it's a little overwhelming. So this might be appealing to you if you're one of those people who's been on the fence about too many places for your thumb to go or whatnot. But what's also interesting is there are not the detent levers on the backside of the throttle. So it looks like this version will be a push-through variant of the detents, which I think is kind of an interesting addition. And then finally, the tensioner is available right on the top. So if you've had problems with your Verpal throttle of accessing the tension, you want to make it a little tighter, a little looser, and you've found that to be hard to access, well, Verpal heard that and it's available right on the top. So all in all, what are you getting with this throttle? Well, for your right thumb, you'll have two four-way hat switches, an analog mini stick plus a push. So if you're someone who prefers your analog switch to be under your index finger or your middle finger, a la the F15E from WinWing, this is going to be much more simple. This is going to be in line with what VKB is doing with the Stecs or the F16 throttle, where that access is going to be underneath your thumb. So something to keep an eye out for there if that is or is not of interest to you. Your thumb will also have access to two regular push buttons and then one axis dial with a push. Your index finger will have a four-way hat. Your middle finger will have a single button, and then your pinky will also have access to a button there over on the side, as well as an axis dial with a push. So I think the current version on that left-hand side has a rotary encoder, I believe, so the axis will be a new addition. Pricing, how much are we talking about? Well, the pricing here is going to be €230 or $250 US, which is a significant step down, I believe, from the CM3, which is currently retailing for about $100 or €100 more than that. So significantly cheaper. Now, keep in mind, you don't have any of the extra switches and buttons on the base plate, but maybe that's not of interest to you. And this cheaper entry point is a good way to get started with a Verpal product. That said, they are offering a pre-order discount. So if you jump on right now, you'll save about 13%, which brings the total down to €200 or $218 US. The first batch of these throttles is scheduled to start shipping in about 8 weeks, and the pre-order discount will be limited depending on how many people pre-order. So if you're interested in snagging that discount, I would jump on the deal today. I got links in the show notes for you. You can also find them at verpal-controls.us.com. or the variation depending on where you are, such as verpal-controls.eu or verpal-controls.co.uk. So kudos to you, Verpal. I appreciate you coming through, turning what was originally a joke into a real life product, because I actually think it's going to be a fantastic piece of hardware for the community. Okay, so now let's transition to the portion of the show where we highlight the work of people just like you, the community. So, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between, we're covering the latest goings-on of the community. And kicking things off this week, we have JP from JP's Tech with a hardware review. So, I thought what was interesting about this is JP, who I'm a fan of, I've subscribed to him on YouTube. You can find him at JP's Tech Reviews. He's done over 100 videos. Actually, I think it's over 150 on his channel, covering everything from WinWing, Verpal, Thrustmaster, you know, you name it, or any other PC-related hardware. This one is all about which F-16 throttle should you get? Which one's better? So in his mind, he's comparing the Winwing versus the Thrustmaster Viper TQS throttle. And as someone who owns both of these throttles, this is something I've been thinking about doing for a while. So it's great to see JP thinking that's a good idea too and putting this out for the community. So he's got both throttles side by side in his possession, and he walks you through the major differences and then gives you feedback on which he thinks is the better choice depending on what your setup is and what his experience has been with those throttles. So I know he always puts hardware through its paces, so go over, give him a check out. I got the link to the video in the show notes. And if that is a piece of equipment you've been interested in, or you've been eyeballing what F-16 throttle you want, JP's got you covered. So thanks, JP, for the great video and all the other quality content that you put out each and every week. Shifting things over to the IL-2 front, getting a little away from hardware. Shout out to Shamrock from the Stormwords blog. We've featured him many a time on the show. And what I wanted to feature this week was a really cool interview he did with Jägermeister. So for those of you who don't know, Jägermeister is one of the more prolific mission and campaign makers for the IL-2 Sturmovik series. In fact, he mentioned in this interview that he's created well over 100 scenarios and campaigns, which is pretty amazing when you think about how much time and effort that must have taken. So you can find the link to this on the show notes, but that is stormbirds.blog. So if you plug that into your web browser, it'll take you over there to Shamrock's article or an interview, I should say, with Jägermeister and all the other great content that he's put together. I pulled out a bunch of the questions that they talked about, but really I just want to kind of high level say that Jägermeister recently released the payware campaign called Overlord for the P-51 for IL-2. So Shamrock caught up with them and just wanted to ask him a few questions about, you know, what he's been doing, what his process for these campaigns are, and what might be coming next. So they cover a lot of really interesting topics. Shamrock had some great questions such as, you know, of all the campaigns, which one's been your favorite? How do you approach a campaign? What's your inspiration for it? What kind of preparatory work do you do before you make these missions? Which of your campaigns or missions do you think is the most overlooked and you would want to encourage people to try out? I thought that was a really, really interesting question. And then he mentioned that, as I mentioned, Overlord, his most recent campaign, is his first paid campaign. So what was the experience like versus the others that he's done over the years? And then how has his approach to campaign development changed over the years? You know, a fun tidbit I did pull out, I'll save most of it for the article. Go over and check it out on Shamrock's page there. But Jägermeister said that Overlord must be reasonably popular within the community, as he's been given the green light to keep producing scripted campaigns for great battles for the foreseeable future. So that's a wonderful thing to see. Jägermeister, thanks for all you've done for the IL-2 community from a mission scenario standpoint, and Storm Shamrock, thank you for all the work you've done, not only for IL-2 coverage, but for your continuing coverage of all flight sims on your blog. Again, that's stormbirds.blog. And on that note, once you go over there, check out this article with interview with Jägermeister. Also be sure to check out the latest journal from Shamrock's latest flight on the Combat Box server. So every now and then he does these flight journals just to give you a brief glimpse into what his experience was like flying a new campaign, flying on a multiplayer server. I always kind of enjoy living vicariously through Shamrock on weeks where maybe I've been busy with the real world and haven't had a chance to fly. He does such a great job showing off his screenshots and summarizing his adventures. So go ahead, check it out. I'll probably be promoting his blog well into the future, but I thought that was a piece of content you might enjoy this week. Shifting things over to the DCS front here in the community section, have an update on the Pretense Dynamic campaign. So this is a campaign or a dynamic mission generator that I haven't featured on the show yet, and I regret to bring it to you under these circumstances because it's something I've been meaning to talk about for a while, but unfortunately, this piece of addition to the game, dynamic campaign generator, if you will, is no longer under development. So DZSEC, so DZSEK on his GitHub page posted that Pretense is no longer being developed or supported. He said, due to the state of the game, it's the pace of development, and based on his opinion of Eagle Dynamics' conduct, it's killed his interest in developing in this mission set any further. So you just want to thank everyone who has supported him. So in lieu of that, I still think this is a fantastic option for those of you out there who are looking for some new ways of enjoying dynamic content. It's sad to see that it will not be being developed into the near future at any point. Hopefully that's something maybe he'd consider open sourcing to the community. Either way, I did want to recognize his legacy and all the hard work he's done for the DCS community with Pretense, and I think it was previously the Foothold campaign that he had generated, by giving a special call out to it and linking to where you can find the mission set on his GitHub page and on the DCS user files page. So if you're not familiar with Pretense, there's one version for the Caucasus map and two for Syria. You can either fly the modern version or the Cold War version on the Syria map. And Pretense is actually his second attempt at a dynamic campaign for DCS. As I mentioned, I think the first one was Foothold. So this is a little different from things I've mentioned on the show, such as DCS Liberation or DCS Retribution, in that everything is actually run from within game. So it's essentially you just fire up a mission and it takes over everything from there, and you can handle all the changes you want or make everything happen in game. So this is designed for single player or small group of friends, although I think there are several multiplayer users that run this. But I want to give a shout out to the user Stahl2K on Reddit, who had a great summary of what Pretense offers. He said, Liberation is arguably more suited to realistic stories where you have to think, plan, and execute. A lot of pre-flight planning, design the missions, go from there. Pretense is more like an extended game of Battlefield. There are zones, some RTS elements, but the battle feels alive around you. And after you play for a few hours and start to understand the game, the more fun it gets. So the nice part of that design is you don't need to understand it, and you can play it just like taking off, go kill some stuff, come back, and it contributes to the world around you as there's this meta game happening dynamically around you in the mission. So you can just get in and go have some fun and watch the world come alive. So, and that's essentially what DZSec was trying to get at here. He said he wanted the focus to be on you, the player. You're a mercenary pilot in the middle of this war unfolding all around you. Your job is to choose from the available missions and complete them while earning experience and climbing through the ranks. So I highlight a bunch of the features in the show notes, but if this sounds like something you're interested in, you can get all of this and more over on the GitHub page, find out in the DCS user page, or the user file page, excuse me. Again, this is not the context I really wanted to bring this mission generator to you in, but that said, thank you for all the great work you did for the community. Hopefully, the DCS will change enough for you in the future, or you'll find another avenue to continue to give back to the military flight simulation community in the future, because I know you've made a lot of people really happy with the product that you produce. So that is, again, DCS Pretense. On the DCS front, I also want to give a shout out to another community content creator. This week, we got Space Game over on his YouTube page, which is at Got Space Game. He is the creator of 3-minute DCS tutorials. So he calls his whole series DCS in 3 or less, which I enjoyed because it's pretty catchy. And these are all quick tutorials to get you up to speed whatever DCS aircraft you're interested in. So he has tutorials on the F-15E, the Viggen, the Hornet, the Harrier, the A-10C, the F-16C, the Ka-50. So he's got lots of aircraft tutorials, over 40 videos in total. He just released one on the A-10C using the gun over on that aircraft. But what caught my attention, and it had appeared in my YouTube feed, was his cold start video with IHADS alignment for the Apache. So again, if you're like me, and it sounds like many of you are based on our content from Spudknocker last week with his community survey, where over 90% of you say you get your tutorials from YouTube, this is another great one to add to your rotation. So go over there. If you like what he has to say, give him a like, comment, subscribe, all that fun jazz. And hopefully we'll see more great content from him in the future. Again, that is Got Space Game and the DCS in 3 or less series. Okay, keeping things within DCS, I want to bring to you another in-game mission generator, and that's the DCS Rotor Ops. So we've had so much helicopter content this week up front with the addition of the CH-47 and the HEWA coming soon to the DCS. So I wanted to give a special shout out for those of you who like flying helicopters or maybe looking for some more fun things to do in game. And that's where something called Rotor Ops comes in. So Rotor Ops is a mission generator, which we like to feature heavily on the show. And essentially, at its heart, it's a game type called Conflict, which requires helicopter operations to win battles on the ground. So it's essentially a territory capture game that promotes the focus on individual conflict zones. So they've got tons of mission types, troop transport, close air support, ground attack, logistics, which will fit in great with the CH-47. The mission generator essentially uses a Windows app. It's got built-in voiceovers, makes use of the Splash Damage 2 script for more realistic explosions, You can play the role of attacking or defending forces, and this supports single or multiplayer missions. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you can find this over on their GitHub page, which I've got linked to. They have a bunch of notes about how to set this up and the installation and user guide. A screenshot of what you're looking like here is going on in the video portion of the show on the show notes. And you can set up things such as the blue forces, how many enemy attack helicopters there are or planes, how many friendly units or what kind of FARP conditions do you have, what are some player slots going to be looking like. And then it basically gets you in a game set up, and you're on your way to complete the missions as you see fit. There's also a fun aspect of the Rotorheads group here. The Rotor Ops group, excuse me. They've created their own multiplayer server. So if you didn't want to set this up for single player usage or your own little server, you can go over and join the action on their multiplayer server. They say, come fly with us on the newest DCS server dedicated to a rewarding and dynamic helicopter gameplay. So they say all players are welcome. There are no communications or MILSIM procedure requirements, but they do encourage you to have active communications via SRS or Discord. So if you're looking to give this a shot in a multiplayer setting, go search for Rotor Ops in the server menu. And I've also got links to the server IP and SRS in the show notes, as well as to their Discord as well. So the Rotor Ops crew. Finally, if you are interested in giving this a try, but you don't want to go ahead and set it up all yourself, they've actually created some demo missions for you. So they have a demo mission called Black Hawk Down Part 1, which is with the Huey or the UH-60 mod. They got a Nighthawks mission with the Apache. They also got something called Rotor Ops Aleppo Under Siege or Rota Landing. So these are all missions you can find on the DCS user file page, which make use of the Rotor Ops gameplay functionality. So good way to try it out. Dip your feet. Toe into the pool, if you will, before you commit to the Rotor Ops section. I've also got a great video from Sergio Costa from Helisimmer. I think we've talked about him on the show before. So he's got a great video detailing how Rotor Ops actually works, so you can see it in action as well. You can find him on his YouTube page at Helisimmer. So Heli Simmer, Simmer. So Helisimmer. That's Sergio Costa. And you can also find him on the Helisimmer website. So thank you for the Rotor Ops crew, and thank you, Sergio, for giving us a great video. So that wraps things up from the community standpoint. Let's shift it over to the user content of the week now. So the user content of the week. Sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial, sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. And what we have for you this week is getting the hang of Falcon BMS. What now? So user That One Doom Fan on the Falcon BMS subreddit posed the question this week. I'm getting the hang of BMS and really enjoying it. I did some of the tutorials and got the hang of basic weapon employment, etc. I was wondering, what do I do now? Should I play the campaigns? Can I download any player made campaigns? What's the best for a beginner like me? And given all the consternation of DCS fans as of late in terms of what's going on with Eagle Dynamics, there's been a lot of renewed interest in people getting back into Falcon BMS, although I'd argue you can just enjoy both games simultaneously. It doesn't have to be one or the other. That said, I thought this was an interesting thing to highlight for a lot of members of the community, because I think it's an important thing. You know, Falcon BMS, what do you do there? If you're new to that game, how do you transition into it? And it's something I try to feature a lot on the show. I try to feature all military flight sims on the show, but Falcon BMS in particular. So I thought I'd highlight some of the comments for this, and I have the link to the Reddit post here as well. User Pegasus82 responded, "Well, there's a lot of good multiplayer-focused resources that you can enjoy." So he highlighted things such as the Falcon Lounge Discord, the Falcon Online Discord, and as well as two multiplayer groups, the Veterans Gaming Discord and the 185th Virtual Squadron, European-based squadron, and he's got the link to the Discord of that group as well. And then finally, user Wombats Are Cute recommended downloading other theaters. So, you know, when we think of Falcon BMS, or for those of us who at least have a basic understanding of Falcon BMS, you think of the Korean Peninsula Theater, because that's what comes with the game by default. Well, he also mentioned there are other theaters you can enjoy, such as the Baltics, the Balkans, or Israel, and each of those comes with their own campaign. So if maybe you don't want to fly in the Korean Peninsula, there are other campaigns and areas or geographic regions for you to enjoy in Falcon BMS as well. And then finally, a user J.M. Parker 1980 recommended our friend of the show, Aviation Plus, who I think is always a good one to recommend. He linked directly to his Falcon BMS playlist of 40 videos to help you learn BMS from scratch. So I'll give a shout out to you, JM Parker, for a great recommendation. And that's Aviation Plus at Aviation Plus on YouTube. That's always my go-to recommendation for anyone getting started in BMS on how to get set up and rolling. So what about you? What would you recommend to someone starting out in BMS? Are there any other BMS content creators you think we should highlight on the show? I'm always curious to know about that. If I'm missing someone, please let me know. I always want to give a shine a spotlight on all the great folks doing wonderful things in our community. That said, on that final related BMS and community note, I did want to give a quick shout out to the Falcon BMS focused podcast called The Tactical Frequency. So in case those of you who aren't, or in case you didn't know, or those of you who aren't aware, this is a great podcast put on by the host, Bible Klinger. It's a show focused exclusively on a variety of topics around Falcon BMS. So he's got 15 episodes of really well-produced material. Probably puts my show to shame, actually, in that front. He's got a great voice for radio, too, so it works out really nicely. So he does these episodes focused on like a particular topic. So he might have a show 1 week focused on multiplayer fundamentals, but then he might come back next week with a show focused on a topic like flying a red aircraft in BMS. You know, he covers the gamut of things related to Falcon BMS. Unfortunately, the show's been on a little bit of a hiatus right now since November, but he's working through some real life things. But he did communicate on his Discord page that he does plan to return to the show in the near future. And I do hope that's the case. We've been missing the show. Looking forward to hearing you back on the virtual airwave soon, Bible Clinger. So I put a link to this show. This is just the iHeart.com podcast page. You can find this show wherever you get your podcasts. But if you want to see what he's got and what the topics are, you can go there directly. Again, that's 15 episodes so far. So lots to catch up on that front. And thankfully, a lot of his content is timeless in the sense that it's based around subject material that really isn't going to atrophy or age poorly. So it's something you could still jump into now and you'd really enjoy the content that he's discussing. You can also find him on the Discord page, which I've linked to as well. So that wraps things up from the user content of the week. Let's shift it over now to the SimPit Spotlight.
You don't see any big stream and flames or smoke coming out, do you?
So it's time for my favorite segment of the show, where we highlight a community member's personal SimPit setup, no matter how simple or complex, to celebrate the joys of flying from home. And this week, I want to give a shout out to user Tinkerdeck on the HOTAS subreddit, who has a F-16-inspired setup for us. So I've linked to his post over on the HOTAS subreddit, and I got some pictures here as well. But it's just a really great setup for someone who's getting started and focused on kind of one aircraft. Now, granted, his setup would work for multiple aircrafts by all means, but it's just really nice, holistic setup for an F-16 pilot. So he's got, from a HOTAS perspective, the VKB XO NXT Premium SCG grip. So he's flying the VKB stick on his right. He's got the Thrustmaster TQS F-16 throttle on his left there. He's got two Thrustmaster Cougar MFDs velcroed on top of a small 11.6-inch, you know, brand agnostic monitor. By the way, I've done this very similar thing myself. It's a great way to bring your MFDs to life and replicate what you're seeing in game. And then finally, he's got the Winwing F-16 ICP, and he's mounted all of that. I should say he's got that mounted on top of just like a clear little keyboard cover, which serves as a little bit of a riser to put it above his Cougar MFDs. And it's kind of like a backup mouse stand. So it's just a really nice, clean setup. He's got all that mounted to his desk, got a separate monitor there on the left side so he can bring up YouTube pages. He can bring up any manuals while he's flying in game. Perfect little setup for Falcon BMS or the F-16C in the DCS. So Tinkerdeck, great little setup. Thank you for sharing that with the community. Looks like a lovely place to go flying each and every night. So shout out to you. And if you've got a setup you'd like to share, or if you have any listener feedback for us, you can always reach out to us feedback at thehangarbaypod.com, or you can contact us via social media at thehangarbaypod on Twitter or Instagram. You know, if there's any news, community content, or SimPit setup that you would like to see covered, just let me know. I'm always looking to feature new members of the community or those who've been around for a while that maybe I haven't talked about who are doing great things to make this community a better place each and every week. In the end, I just want to shine a light on the great things going on, and you can always help me do that. So reach out and let me know if you got something you'd like me to talk about. That said, that concludes another episode of The Hangar Bay. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next weekend, as we always do around here, to get you squared away with the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. But until then, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Right here. Let's go down low out of decks. Unload 500 knots. Let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at the Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at the Hangar Bay Pod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.